The Bible reading is from Ruth chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning until now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favour in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There'll now be a few second delay as they connect soon.
Hello. I'm hoping you can hear and see me. Hopefully Andy's managed to get me on the big screen. I've been watching along on the live stream. I've just switched that off. Andy's just sent me a message on chat. Says, yes, you can hear me. Wonderful. Praise God. And thanks to Andy for making sure that this is working. And as well, thanks for Elaine as well. Elaine stepped in at the last minute to lead. I was due to lead as well this morning. Just say, we're fine. Josh is fine. But he has had a positive lateral flow test this morning. It seems wise to self-isolate. That seems to be the best thing. And we're going to get him a PCR test this afternoon. I'll let you know about the LCF service and all that kind of thing once I know more. Good. So I'm so sorry, but Micah has just run in. Micah, I'm going. Can you go away, please? Thank you. I apologise. I'm sure that's producing much mirth. Let me pray, because we're going to need God's help, aren't we? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we're able to be able to gather around your word this morning, either on live stream or kind of in the building and with technology that I'm still able to preach. Father, we give you great thanks for that. And we pray for technology to work. We pray that we'd be able to listen we'd be able to engage by your spirit with your word. So speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Okay. I'm told it's quite quiet on the live stream. I'm sorry about that. I think if you just put up your live stream volume, I think that's going to be the best that we can do this morning. So we're in Ruth 2. You've got that in front of you in the building and hopefully at home. Last week we saw, didn't we? We saw from Ruth 1. It ended with Naomi having returned to Bethlehem. 10 years earlier, she'd left Bethlehem because there'd been a famine in the land. She'd left with her husband because they thought, well, actually, God can't provide for us. God can't provide for us in the land of his blessing and amongst his people. So actually, we'll find provision, we'll find life in Moab, the land of God's enemies, outside of God's land and outside of his blessing. That's where we'll find life. And it was a disaster. Naomi's husband, Elimelech, he died. Two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they also died. So that Naomi has now returned back to Bethlehem after 10 years. She's destitute, she's a widower, she has no sons, and all she has is Ruth, this Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who married one of Naomi's sons. And she's returned and she's feeling bitter. She's recognising the bitterness of her life. She said at the end of chapter 1, verse 19, the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Well, she's come back, and she's come back with to the land where God has promised to bless his people and give them life. And Ruth, too, has chosen to come back with her. She has chosen to come back. She's chosen to turn her back on all her security in the land of Moab and come back with Naomi to Bethlehem, the land where God has promised to bless his people and give them life. But the question is, we start chapter 2 of Ruth, is what kind of God have they returned to? And what kind of God have they returned to? What is life with him going to be like? Will he care for them? Will he provide for them? You know, their return is a picture, isn't it, of all of us returning to Christ and to his people. And the question is something similar we might ask as well. What is life with God like if I return to Christ? If I come to Christ for the first time, what is life with him like? Will God let me down? More than that, what is his character like? Is he kind? Is he generous? Is God for me and for his people? Is life with him worth living? Or actually, is God grumpy, restrictive, always holding good things back from his people? Well, by the end of Ruth chapter 2, we hear these words on the lips of Naomi. He, the Lord, has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and to the dead. Kindness there is the word, Bible word hesed, which means steadfast love, faithfulness, and committed kindness. By the end of chapter, Naomi recognizes that that is what God is like, and that is what he has shown her and Ruth. And so this whole chapter, in fact, the whole rest of the book of Ruth is about the kindness, the committed, faithful, kind love that God has for his people. And we see that all the way through Ruth chapter 2. So first, we see God's hidden kindness. We see God's hidden kindness. Have a look down at verse 1. Naomi and Ruth, they're facing destitution. But the narrator gives us a hint of what's to come. Verse 1. We know it's the beginning of the barley harvest, and we're told now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. We're told that there is somebody human who may provide hope for Naomi and for Ruth. And there is somebody who, under Old Testament law, may be able to provide for them. But at this stage, Ruth is completely unaware of who that is, and Naomi seems to have forgotten. And so we read verse 2. Now Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." Ruth's asking to go and glean in the fields. Now, God cares about those who are widowed and those who are destitute and poor. And so in his Old Testament law, he made a provision for them. He gave them the practice of gleaning. And so he commanded that when somebody was harvesting their fields, that their crops, they were to leave the edges of their fields unharvested. And if they dropped anything in the field as they were harvesting, any of the crop, any of the grain, they were to leave it on the floor so that those who were poor, those who didn't have an income, those who were widowed, they could go and they could collect food from the edges of the field and food that had been dropped. And practice called gleaning, you can read about it in Leviticus 19 or Deuteronomy 24. And so Ruth says, well, this is how we're going to get food, if I go and glean. So let me go and glean in a field. But look, it was going to be a risky thing for her to do. She's a young woman. It's in the time of Judges, where we've seen that everyone does what they see fit in their own eyes. The end of Judges ends with a horrific gang rape by God's so-called people. It's an unsafe time for women. It is a particularly unsafe time for a woman who is from Moab, one of God's enemies. It is risky, it is dangerous. And so no wonder Ruth says that, you know, let me go to the fields and pick up the grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour. She needs somebody to show her some undeserved kindness, some literally grace, favour. It's risky. But look at God's hidden kindness to her. Verse 3. So she went out, she entered a field, and she began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. As it turned out, she has no idea about Boaz. We do, because the narrator's told us. But it just so happens that out of all the fields that she chooses to glean in, it's Boaz's field. Literally, it is, the words are, her chance chanced upon. She just so happens to find herself gleaning in Boaz's field. Reminds us of that famous line from Casablanca, when Humphrey Bogart says, "Of all the gin joints, of all the towns, in all the world, and she happens to walk into mine." But it gets better. So we read verse 4, don't we? Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, who does that young woman belong to? So, Boaz just happens to pick that moment to walk out from Bethlehem, and he chooses that field. It just so happens that he chooses that field to go and visit that morning. And as he does so, as he speaks with the overseer, as it's clear that he's a godly man, who actually may be able to provide for Ruth, he just so happens to spot Ruth in the field. Out of all the other harvesters and all those others who may be gleaning, he happens to spot Ruth. Look, these are real events that really happened. And the narrator is showing us they did not just happen. This is not just chance. This is God's hand of kindness, his hidden kindness at work. It's what we call God's providence. The fact that God rules and controls all things and rules and controls them all with a purpose. And that purpose is to work for his glory and for the good of his people. What we see here is what Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And it goes on to say, and that is to be made more like Jesus. Here we see God's hidden kindness at work. Last week, we saw God's hidden kindness at work in the deaths of Mahlon and Chilion and Elimelech in order to bring Naomi and Ruth back to Bethlehem. And now we see his hidden kindness at work to bring Ruth into contact with Boaz, one of the men who can provide for her. We see God's hidden kindness at work. And do you see what the encouragement that is to us? The fact that you're sitting there this morning, or you're watching online, either you're trusting Christ or you're there hearing about Jesus, wanting to know more, that is all a result of God's hidden kindness at work in your life. How he's worked and ordained all the little bits of your life, the random connections, the mundane bits, the joys, the tragedies, how God has worked through all of those things to bring you to this point this morning, to bring you to Christ, to work in your life to make you more like Christ. What an illustration this morning is of, what is it? 3 hours ago, I found out that Josh had had a positive test. And my immediate thought was, well, this is God's unseen kindness. You know, we don't know why that I've got to, preach like this. God does. We might not be able to see it yet, just as in Ruth and Naomi can't see how God's plan is working out for them yet, for their good. But God does, because he's ordaining and controlling all things, and he works kindness for his people. And do you see that means that our lives are not a result of fate or chance? And we often say, it is what it is. I say it myself sometimes, and I've heard other people say it. You know, when something happens in life that we don't expect or we don't particularly like, oh, it is what it is. And we say that, don't we, in order to say, well, I'll cope, I'll deal with what life has thrown at me. I'm not going to moan, I'm going to be stoic. It is what it is. It is the hand that fate has dealt me. But actually, we get to say something so much better, don't we? No, it is what God wills. It is his hand of hidden kindness. It's not blind fate that we find ourselves in whatever situation we find ourselves. It's as a result of his hidden hand of kindness. And so actually we can respond rather than just with, it is what it is. But actually we can respond with faith, can't we? And we say, no, it is what God wills. It is his plan to make me more like Jesus. And what a good thing that is to be able to say. What a comfort that is in the joys and in the sorrows. God's hidden kindness. But as we go on, we see God's undeserved kindness. As we go on, so Boaz has He's spotted Ruth. He's asked, "Who is that?" And we see God's undeserved kindness displayed. Verse 6, the overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.'" The overseer, he's at pains to tell Boaz that she's a Moabite. Do you notice that? She's a Moabite, master. And master, you know where Moabites come from? They come from Moab. Moab, Boaz. You know that place where they sacrifice their children to idols? The place of the Lord's enemies? She's a Moabite. Verse 8. So Boaz said to Ruth, "Get out of my field, you detestable foreigner, you child sacrificer, you enemy of the Lord." No, he didn't say that, did he? He didn't say that. Verse 8. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I've told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you're thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars." He shows gentleness and kindness, and he protects her. And she knows she deserves none of this. Verse 10. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground and she asked, "Why have I found such favour, such grace in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? I deserve nothing from your hand. Who are you that you've shown me this undeserved kindness, this grace?" It's a picture of all God's people now in Christ, isn't it? Ephesians, as we looked at Ephesians, we were reminded with the words from Ephesians 2 that at one time we were separate from Christ, excluded from his people, foreigners to God's covenant promises to bless and give life. We were without hope and without God, a foreigner, a stranger. She deserves nothing, and she receives grace, undeserved kindness. Is the undeserved kindness of God that is being shown through Boaz. And now he's heard about what she's done. He's heard that she's left her land and people and bound herself to the Lord. And he sees in her faith that's seen in her actions. And so he prays in verse 12, "Well, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Recognizes that she's come as this foreigner who deserves nothing to take refuge with the Lord under his wings. It's a picture of a bird sheltering under the wings of their parents. Imagine a helpless chick wandering around the nest, in danger of falling, in danger of exposed to the elements, danger of predators, that the parent bird covering them, protecting them, granting them refuge as one helpless under their wings. A beautiful picture that is of the Christian life. We're a foreigner, we deserve nothing, and yet we find refuge with God when we come to Christ. As he covers us, he shields us with Christ, with his wings, for all eternity. And so we respond, "Why? Why? Why have I found such favour? Why have I found this grace?" Because God has chosen to show us grace. It's undeserved kindness. And the thing is, when we experience that undeserved kindness, it then shapes how we treat others. Then, as Boaz does, we're able to show that undeserved kindness, that grace to others, to welcome in those on the outside. To welcome in the outcast, to welcome it. You know, Ruth here is an asylum seeker. To welcome in those seeking refuge. when God's grace works in our life, when we find refuge that we don't deserve in Christ, it shapes how we respond to others and we treat others with grace. Andy's just asked me, could I turn the auto adjust off on my microphone? I could do, but I'm afraid I don't know how to. So I'm just going to carry on. Sorry about that. So we've seen God's hidden kindness, his undeserved kindness. And now as we go on, we see God's extravagant kindness, his extravagant kindness. It's the kindness of the Lord he shows through Boaz that goes above and beyond what we'd expect. Have a look at verse 14. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." And when Ruth sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain and she ate all she wanted and she had some left over. She comes over. Boaz is like, have you got lunch? Oh, well, come and sit down over here. Come and sit down with my people. Try some of this bread. Oh, this wine vinegar is excellent, Ruth. Dip your bread in there. Ruth, you've not had any roasted grain. Ruth, let me give you some roasted grain. Ruth, that's not enough. Let me give you more. He's the overly generous host. You know, when you go around somebody's house and they pile your plate up so high, more food than you could eat. His extravagant kindness. But more, his kindness, his generosity, it goes on to become almost comical. Verse 15. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up and don't rebuke her." You know, this generosity, it is above and beyond. You know, you've got pictures of those gathering, those harvesting, going, "Oops, I've dropped some stalks. Oh, silly me. Silly me. Oh, look, I've dropped some more stalks on the ground. Oh, I can't go back and pick them up, can I, Ruth?" It's this overly extravagant kindness to this woman who deserves nothing. And so that after threshing at the end of the day, after threshing the barley, after beating the grains from the head of stalks, we get this picture of Ruth in verse 17, staggering home with probably about 13 kilos worth of threshed barley. Estimates that probably more than 2 weeks worth of food for her and Naomi. The sheer generosity of Boaz, the sheer kindness that God, through Boaz, is showing to Ruth and to Naomi. Not just sustaining them, but giving them an abundance. And God is the same to us. He's the same to his people in Christ. He gives lavishly, full, extravagant kindness to his people. You know, think of all that we saw again in Ephesians, where we're told that we saw God's extravagant kindness there in chapter 1, that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Not one or two spiritual blessings, not some spiritual blessings, not most spiritual blessings, but every spiritual blessing. He forgives, he redeems, he adopts, he loves, he gives us his spirit, he makes us his people, he gives us a place in eternity. We're told he lavishes his grace, his kindness upon us. Not a half measure, but a plate overflowing. He lavishes on us his kindness in Christ. He loves us, we were told in Ephesians 3, with a love that surpasses knowledge. All the books written, all the blogs posted, all the sermons preached, they cannot explain and exhaust the depths of God's love for his people in Christ. God is lavishly kind, generously kind, extravagantly kind to his people in Christ. God is extravagantly kind to you and I. Do you know and do you feel that extravagant kindness of God this morning? Because ever since Eden, ever since the serpent first tested and tempted Adam and Eve, and the devil wants us to know and believe that God is stingy that God is holding something back, that he is mean-spirited. But God is extravagant in his undeserved, generous kindness that he shows to his people. See him as that. Eye him as that through the eye of faith. And finally, we see that this is a kindness, a hidden, undeserved, extravagant kindness that comes all through God's Redeemer and the Redeemer's people. We get there in verse 19. Naomi sees this abundance of food, this generosity, and she asks, verse 19, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." And then the tension builds as we find out who this man is, or as Naomi does. It's the tension almost like the winner of the Bake Off, the Great British Bake Off being announced. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she'd been working. The name of the man I work with today is, drum roll, Boaz. "Oh, the Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He, the Lord, has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and to the dead." Now Naomi sees that this abundance of food is because of the Lord's kindness. The Lord's kindness to her and to Ruth through her kinsman redeemer. Because Ruth still doesn't know that about Boaz. She needs to explain, Naomi. "That man is our close relative. He's one of our guardian redeemers." And we're going to see more next week about what that means. But Naomi joins the dots. This kindness that she's received, that Ruth has been shown, it is all through the Redeemer, their kinsman redeemer, the one whom God is using to provide for them. All of God's kindness to you and I as his people comes through our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, shown to us through him and through his people. That hidden, undeserved, extravagant kindness is found in one man and through one man, our Redeemer Jesus. The one who says, "Stay with my workers," verse 21. "Until they finish harvesting all my grain." We're to stay with our Redeemer and with our Redeemer's people. If we doubt God's kindness to us, we are to stay with Jesus, our Redeemer. We're to look at him, to eye him with the eye of faith and see God's kindness to us in our Redeemer. We are to stay with his people and to experience, as part of his people, the kindness of God shown to us through Christ and through his people. Do you doubt God's extravagant kindness? Well, look more at Jesus. Do you question whether his hidden hand really is working good in your life? Spend more time with his people. Spend more time with his people as you gaze at Jesus, because he is the embodiment of God's kindness. He is how God's kindness comes to each and every one of us. And there's much more. We are just getting the first fruits, because Ruth and Naomi, they still are destitute widows. There is a greater redemption to come that we're going to see next week. We're going to experience more of God's kindness as we see that redemption worked out. I'm going to pray as the sun reflects slightly into my eyes from the window opposite, but I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank and we praise you for the kindness that you have displayed to us through Jesus. We thank you for your hidden kindness at work, in all the unseen things and all the apparent randomness of our life to bring us to Christ and to bring us to his people. Thank you for your abundant generosity and extravagant kindness, your undeserved kindness to us, your grace to us in Christ. Would we know and would we experience and would we respond in thanks and blessing to you? As we see and experience your kindness to us in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you're going to listen, and I'm going to jump back onto the live stream as we listen that there is a Redeemer, and his name is Jesus.